Because of all this, I am going to make a transition here. Because it is finished, we can have rest. We can. Isn't it great, Dan, when there's a project finished and you're dead tired and you go home and you can just breathe and in it? Or maybe a lifelong problem has been solved. Or maybe something, it's over with. Something that's been plaguing you for so long and mentally draining you and tearing you down. And it's over with and you can rest and the burdens have been lifted off your shoulders. That's the rest that Christ gives us at Calvary. When you hear the word rest, what comes to your mind? A nap. Yeah, it won't be long that we'll be thinking about that, right? When I had a recliner, it was my recliner. That's when I'm going to take a rest. For others, it could be a rest, could be a walk in the woods. It could be a few hours with a fishing rod in your hand or a deer stand, right? I mean, that's rest. This actually feels like work, but it's not work because you enjoy it so much. Working in the garden or the yard, which is, and if that's the case, I need to get a lot of rest in this week before it rains, right? For many, though, rest is an elusive thing. It's they don't know where to find rest. And this is the way with Ruth. We will be looking at Ruth, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2 of the third chapter this morning. And remember that Ruth is a hard-working woman from a place called Moab. She married one of Naomi's sons, who Naomi and her husband and her sons had left because there's a famine in Israel, and they had left to go to greener pastures. They weren't where they were supposed to be. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be according to God. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, and their two sons both died there. And so after 10 years of being there, Ruth decides to come home to Judah. And Ruth decides that she was going to go with Naomi and accept Naomi's God. And as they got there, and of course, due to the customs, they were desolate. There was no one there to help them. Naomi probably was too old to work in the fields or anything else. And finally, Ruth said, I'm going to go to a field and I'm going to work. I'm going to glean. I'm going to pick up the leftovers. And there she found the eye of a man named Boaz. Took a shine to her. And next thing you know, they're having lunch every day. And he was leaving handfuls of barley on the ground, told his men to leave handfuls of barley on purpose just for her. But this, you can't grow year round. And the season of reaping was just about over. What were they going to do after that? And Ruth had been working her fingers to the bone, trying to make this work, trying to figure out how she was going to. Because you know what? I don't care how much money you get, you're always going to need more, right? And that, as much catfish as I ate yesterday, I have a suspicion I'm going to eat more. I'm going to need more food here shortly. It never ends. And that's the way our problems are in life sometimes. It just seems like it never ends. And we just like to have a break, wouldn't we? And Ruth needed a break. She needed a change in her life. She needed a rest. She'd been living with the memories of a time when life was kinder, when there was a husband to love, when there was hope of children to raise, when she had taken care of, and when she had security, all women longed for, she needed a rest. Because her future, she had no idea how she was going to feed herself and Naomi, and how she was going to find the long-term peace and rest that she needed. Surely by this time, Ruth has resigned herself to the idea that she'll live out the rest of her life with Naomi. But little did she know that she was about to enter into a place of rest. She's about to have her burdens lifted, and she's about to enter a relationship that will change everything in her life. In this passage, we are confronted with the idea of rest. For Ruth, the idea of rest is that of security and family. For us, it pictures something far more wonderful and precious. The rest is a portrait of that which the lost sinner finds when he rests, enters into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to see the benefits into entering into a rest relationship with Christ. So if you're tired and you're weary of the life that you're living, there's going to be help proposed to you today. It's going to be offered to you. And I hope and pray that you'll take the offer. So we find, let's look in Ruth, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Then Naomi said, her mother-in-law said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with those with the, whose maidens thou wantst? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Her mother-in-law has a plan. You see, when Naomi speaks of rest, she's speaking of getting married. As a Gentile woman in that Jewish society, Ruth had very few prospects. She was desperate and in need of someone who will take her as a wife and provide for the rest that she needed. The word here is really expressive. It has the following uses in the Bible. The absence of movement, that's the one I like. The absence of movement, rest. Being settled, finality, victory, salvation, state of well-being, security, or a place to settle down. In other words, Naomi was hoping to provide Ruth with a relationship that would provide all of this for her and her too. You know, this is what the world is after all. Isn't that really what the world wants? Is some find some rest, some peace in life, some security, something they can hold on to that's real, something that they'll never have to let go of. If your desire and your security is found in the things of this world, I assure you that one day you will have to let go of it, or it'll let go of you. But the rest that Jesus offers us is permanent. Forever. No man can pluck me out of it in my Father's hand. It's permanent. He promises this and more. There's a necessity for this rest. Ruth is desperate in need of such a relationship. You see, the harvest has ended, and with it she had been seeing the end of her supply from and relationship to Boaz. Now, the food is a good thing. Food is a good thing. But I think that she was there also more than just for the food. They've been having lunch together all the harvest season. Every day. I don't know if they called it a date or not, but they were having dates there. And she looked forward to coming back to his field. And he looked forward to for her to come. And when the harvest had ended, what excuse would they have? She has no means of supporting herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. She's in poverty. She needs help. She needs someone to come alongside of her, take an interest in her, and meet her needs. She literally needs a Savior. Have you ever come to a point in time in your life when you realize that you need a Savior? Not just a friend, not just someone to help you out, but you needed someone to come into your life and to save you. There's only one that can do it so you can find that eternal rest, and that's Jesus. Humanity desperately needs a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because of our condition in Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our condemnation in Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Unless we come to Christ, we are destined to spend our lives in spiritual poverty, in spiritual darkness. And unless we meet Him by faith, we're destined to go to hell for all eternity. It's simply the fact. We need the rest He offers us in Himself, in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Four times in the book of Hebrews, it says, enter into my rest. If you want to truly find peace, find rest, find security in life, there's only one that can supply it, and that's Jesus. And you need to enter into His life, into a relationship with Him. Unless we come to Christ, we're doomed. And we'll never find peace in life. And there are so many people today who are living their life from one crisis to the next, never finding the peace and the rest from this weary life that God offers. And so there's a promise of rest. Naomi tells Ruth that she wants Ruth to find a husband. Isn't it about time? You need to find a husband. Okay? Well, that's all fine and good, but that's not as easy as it sounds. Right? Especially if you're in a foreign land and all the men there think that you're a Gentile dog. And that, I'm serious, that's what they thought of them. They didn't think, they weren't, you know, that anybody else but a Jew was terrible. And Ruth needs a husband so because he can provide her with the things that she cannot provide for herself. And she says, that it might be well with thee. And the phrase literally means that you may have the best. I want what's best for you. And what's best for you would be to get a husband. This is a promise that is full of meaning for this young widow. It's a promise of hope. If Ruth were to find such a marriage relationship, she would find relief from her past. She'd find relief from her poverty. And she'd find relief from her pain. She'd find the cure for her work, her worries, and she'd find a cure for her wanderings. Instead of her life being dead end, her life would suddenly have meaning. There'd be hope for the future. Life might not be an endless series of days trying to scratch out a living in that unforgiving society. She might find love. She might just have children. She might find real joy. Those who come into a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ find far more than they counted on. They find that their lives are forever changed by His power. They find that they are loved, forgiven, and they're part of something big, something eternal. They find peace, they find joy, they find hope, and they find not just the promise of rest, but they experience the reality of the rest firsthand. They find hope. And the world today is looking for something to be hopeful about. And I'll tell you, it's hard to find. It is. 70 years plus, and then what? Everything that you might find hope in this world will be gone at that point, at some point. You can't solve that problem. You can't have hope of a life beyond this one without Christ. You can't do it yourself. Which is the promise of help. The rest that promised Ruth a man would meet her needs. A man who would love her, who would provide for her, a man who would take care of her and offer the kind of security that she could only dream of. Boaz was rich. He had his own fields. He had the ability to redeem her, buy back the family lands, make everything the way it was and better. Security. It was a promise of help as she went down the path of life. What a picture all saints find in Jesus. He gives us hope day by day, offers us help along the way. No longer are we forced to walk this world in this world alone. We now have a companion in Hebrews 13:5. You all know this one. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." If you enter into his rest, he'll be there the entire way of your life. Helping you up when you stumble and fall, which we will. Encourage us and when the trials of life get overwhelming. Gives us strength to make it through the crises and the day-to-day problems of our lives. He gives us the strength to make it through. The saints never fear about being cast out. In John 6:37, it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's security. That's commitment on his part, because I might have got thrown out of his rest a few times if he bases it on my actions and my attitudes. But I can be secure that he won't cast me away. The saints never need fear where the road of life will take them, for Jesus scouts the way and plans the path, and he knows which road to go on if you'll just follow him. Thank God for his help during my journey. I look back at my life, and there are times in my life I was questioning, "Why, Lord, why did I go through this? Why did I do this? What happened here? I don't understand." And as I get older and I understand and look back at the path of my life, and I see, now I understand. I know where you're taking me. And it makes me feel more comfortable and makes me feel hopeful and knowledgeable on the fact that I know that whatever my next step is in life, he is there in front of me, leading me, guiding me, and helping me. There's a promise of a home. A home's very important. I'm not sure exactly where Naomi and Ruth were staying, but it probably wasn't very good. Probably wasn't. A marriage rest would provide Ruth with a new home. She'd have a place to settle down, enjoy the blessings of her new relationship. The saints, well, we have a resting place as we travel through this world, and that is true. But you know, I am so glad that we have, when we get through this life, that we have an eternal resting place. Some place to dwell. In John 14, 1 through 3, y'all know this. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That's where he went. And he's preparing a place. I don't know if it's a mansion or not. I don't even care. But he has got a place for me in his kingdom. He's got a home I've entered that security. I know where my eternal home is. Now, I've lived where I've lived a long time. And maybe you have too. That's not your forever home. It saddens me to think that one day my house will be torn down. The Lord doesn't come back soon. One day it'll be torn down and replaced with something else. It's not permanent, but I have a home that is. And it's simply because I've had a relationship, a right relationship with God, a loving relationship with Him. Or should I say, He's had a loving relationship with me. And I've come to know Him as my Lord and my Savior. And once I was adopted into His family, I was born again, then guess what? He started preparing that place for me when I leave this life. With Ruth, where would this rest come from? Naomi reveals the name of the person. It's not a shock. It's Boaz. You need to marry Boaz. After all, he is kinfolk. He has finances to take care of the need. He seems to be interested. I think that's probably an understatement. But he's caught it. He says, everything's there. He seems interested. There's not a coincidence he's leaving all that barley there for you. I think he's wanting something more. And Ruth, this is your chance to pursue the blessing that God is fixing to give them. Ruth's rest will not be found in a place, but Ruth's rest will be found in a person. Because he had the right reputation. His reputation is stated in 2:1 and demonstrated through his actions. He displayed compassion, wisdom, and grace in his dealings with Ruth. He cared about Ruth in spite of her past, in spite of what the community thought about her, in spite of what little or nothing that she could offer him. He loved her like she was, and he acted in grace towards her. Jesus Christ, who is our heavenly Boaz in this sense, has the same reputation. Jesus loves the sinner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his own Son, but Christ died for me, a sinner. He deals with us in grace. She had nothing to offer Boaz. She had nothing of value that she could. There was no benefit for him to pursue her. Look in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Go to the next one, please. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is grace that saved us. It is nothing that you do that will save you. How many good works can you do to make it into heaven? Anybody know? How many good works? What is it going to take, Terry? For you to get in heaven. How many good things? There are people who are trying. The words I hate to hear the most is, I hope I can make it into heaven. I hope I've done enough good. Well, that ain't the right kind of hope. It is by grace. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I'm going to get there by His grace. I don't deserve it, but He's going to give it to me anyway. That's grace. And that's what he was doing with Boaz. It was by grace. I mean, with Ruth. It was by grace he was extending an offer of grace and mercy to her. In spite of our past, even what we could offer Him, nothing. He still reaches out in love to save all of those who call to Him in faith. Every time. No matter what you've done in life in the past, no matter what you're doing today. For by grace are you saved. He had the right reputation and he also had the right relationship. You see, Boaz was a kinsman. That he had the right of redemption. He had the right to buy back all of Naomi's lands. If he wanted to. But because he was so closely related, he could make a difference in Ruth's life. Now, I just want to remind you that our heavenly Boaz, Jesus, is also related to us. Do you remember a time when he came down and became one of us? He became fully human so that he could be related to us. He became a man so that he might give his life as a ransom for us. Thank God he had the right relationship. He was there. He walked just like we walked. He thought. He lived just like we live, except sinlessly. He had the same emotions, the feelings, the struggles. Yeah. He was holy man as well as holy God. He had the right relationship. No one could have done what he done. You couldn't have done it, but he did it. He had the right resources. I wish I could solve all y'all's problems financially. I wish I had enough money that, you know, whatever dealing you're dealing with financially, that I could just, here, I'll write you a check. It's fine. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Sorry. kind of more concerned about mine, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I can't solve everybody's problems. But Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. He could afford to pay the price to redeem Ruth. Our Boaz, our Lord Jesus, is also a mighty man of wealth. And even though he owns all things, his financial resources could not buy our redemption. Thankfully, the very thing we need is that he has the most of. The lost sinner needs the righteousness to face God. However, the best that we can produce in the righteousness department is vastly insufficient. Is vastly insufficient. However, Jesus is abundantly and perfectly righteous. When he died for us, the righteous died for the unrighteous. Now all those who trust Jesus by faith have their righteousness replaced with his righteousness. In other words, it's not about my righteousness anymore, but it's about his. When he died for us, and when he died for our sins, he took upon our sins. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then guess what? He covers our sins with his righteousness. Therefore, we're able to get into heaven because of his righteousness, not ours. So, in whose righteousness are you trusting this morning? He also had the right resolve. Boaz gave every indication that he was interested in a relationship with Ruth. I bet you anything they were the talk of the town. Did you see Boaz? He's over there talking to that Moabite woman every day. I think there's something going on. I ain't seen nothing. It's pretty easy to figure out what's going on. Right? He gave to her freely. He was kind and compassionate towards her. He gave her a standing invitation. You come back to my field every time. Don't you be going to anybody else's field. Now look, I think those are some more than subtle hints that he's interested. He's resolved that I want this woman. I want her in my life. He wants her to know that she can come to him for whatever she needs in life. Everything that Jesus has done for humanity has been designed to show that he cares. Has been designed to show that he loves. He's done everything in his power to show us that he desires a relationship with us. And all that remains for lost men and women is to turn to him by faith and receive what he offers them. Have you ever been a part of this where one person really likes the other person, but the other person don't have a clue? They don't read all the signs. They don't get any of the hints. They just say, you know, they just go, duh, I guess. I don't know. But they just don't seem to care. Jesus is doting over lost men and women today, and the world doesn't seem to care, doesn't seem to know, doesn't seem to understand, and they could just care less. But he still dotes on them. He still comes to them and asks them, invites them into his life. All that remains is for men and women to turn to him in faith and to receive what he offers them. He offers hope. He offers salvation. And he offers rest. His offer still stands today, by the way. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come." Today, in a few moments, at the time of the invitation, and I believe the invitation's probably already started in some hearts, but at that time, God is going to be dealing with your heart in some area of your life. It's something that's not right. Maybe it is salvation. Maybe you're lost and you need to come to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're putting your hope as a saved child of God. Maybe you're putting your hope and your rest into temporal things of this world. He's going to say, come. Are you at rest this morning? No, I'm not referring to physical rest. I'm referring to your spiritual rest. Is your spirit at rest? Is it well between you and the Lord today? Have you entered into that relationship with him that brings the best of your life into your life? Is God providing the blessings that only by staying in his field will bring? What I'm asking is this. Are you truly saved by the grace of God? Or are you supposedly saved by something else of this world? Coming to know the Lord is not magic words. Lord, save me. It is the words that you speak through your heart to him when he's calling you. And you say, Lord, I give it all to you. I surrender all my life to you. And he'll take that. Are you truly saved by the grace of God? If the answer is no, here's the hope. Here's the good news. You can be today. Ain't that something? You woke up this morning, lost and dying, going to hell. And you could come home tonight as a child of God. God preparing a place for you in heaven. If the answer is, I don't know, I'd take a real look at the no. Because I believe that once you've experienced the grace of God in your life, that you'll know it. And I believe there'll be no doubts about your relationship with God. If he's in you, I believe you'll know it. If you're here today and you've already had that kind of relationship with God, you've asked Him into your heart and your life. It's a great reminder of us where our rest needs to come from, and it's not the things of this world. It is from God. Spiritually speaking, we've got a lot of folks who are saved, born again children of God, who are putting all their hope and trust into this world and forgetting about the spiritual blessings that God and comfort that God can give them. I don't know your hearts, but you know your heart. God knows your heart. And if you have a need this morning, would you come and heed the invitation that's about to be given? So as we stand and prepare for this invitation, what can you give God? What is it that God wants from you? You say, Brother Randy, you said that there's nothing that He needs. There's nothing of value that we have. Yeah, there is one thing. He wants your life. He don't want your money. That is in you. He don't want your good works because they're filthy rags. Really, they're nothing compared to His righteousness. He just wants your heart. He wants your life. And right now, would you let God talk to you as we sing this song?